I'm Weston. I'm one of the elders here at Genesis, and we like to do a really cool thing every summer. We usually mix something up. We usually do like 10 questions where we let you guys kind of dictate the sermon series, or we even this summer we're giving some younger guys a crack at preaching. And last week I think you had Darren Slater preach. Coming up later this summer, you'll have Andy Hubbard, and today we're going to listen to Todd Rankin deliver a message from the Word. And Todd and his family have been, him and Sarah have been really a godsend to Genesis. They plugged in very early on after attending. Todd is leading the direction of the community groups and really mobilizing them, getting them out into the communities, doing mission, growing together as a family. But then Sarah is also doing a lot of the children's ministries. And so they've just been a huge blessing to Genesis, and we've been grateful to get to experience Todd going through this preaching class with Mike, and Mike Hubbard, the preaching pastor who's out of town today, and he's been able to train these guys and teach them, and now we're giving them an opportunity, which really, I think, is giving us an opportunity to hear a fresh word from God. That there's something great about the way Mike approaches the pulpit, that he gives it away, and he allows other voices to be heard from this stage. That it's not just Mike preaching and dictating the direction of the church, but we really do believe in plurality. That's why we have elders. That's why we have a group of guys who can discuss the direction of the church. But also, we want to have multiple voices come from this stage and deliver a message from God. And so we're very excited to hear from Todd, who's a Midwestern student going to seminary and helping us here at Genesis. And I just want to take a moment to pray over him, and I hope you guys pay attention and listen to what God has to say through him. Lord, we pray for Todd, and just thank you for sending him our way. We pray that that you would open the word to us as you have to him this past month, and I pray that you just bless all the study and hard work that he has put into this, and we know that you have given him a message, and we want to see that message. We want to see you and what you have to say to us. Lord, let your spirit move through him to deliver a message to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Weston. Thank you very much. Well, like Weston said, I'm Todd Rankin. I go to Midwestern. It's a crazy life, especially with a newborn kid in the house whose name is James, and he is awesome. He hasn't hit the terrible twos. He's only about 9 months old, so we're in the great stage here. My goal this morning for y'all is just to, as I don't want to talk about you leaving yet because we have an important word, but whenever we leave today, the most important thing that I wish to communicate today is that you know the purpose of life. You know the purpose of you living today. The text, as it will be shown on the screens, is John 1, 6 through 9. Go ahead and take your phone out, your tablet, whether you use electronics, that's great. I'm an old fogey and you'd like to use a hard copy. We will be there shortly, and you see the page number there on the Bibles at the end of your rows. If you don't have a Bible, it is Genesis' gift to you. Feel free to take it with you once you leave today. John, let's talk about John a little bit, the gospel writer, the author of the book that we'll be in today mostly. We'll look at Luke later on. He was an apostle and disciple of Jesus, meaning he lived, breathed with Jesus. He walked and talked. He ate with him. He also heard questions and comments like, you must be a fisherman. Jesus talked about a lot, and he documents it, John does, about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which is in the other Gospels. And then other parable stories of that are woven in throughout the narrative of all four Gospels. I can imagine John having questions running through his brain. Does this mean, Jesus, you expect me to gather up some worms, put them in hooks, and hopefully you get them in people's mouths and you reel them in and come bring them beside you? Or should I throw people overside the boat and then cast my net and gather up people? John, full of ignorance, sometimes just like us, he followed. Before we read today's main text, I want us to turn our attention to the screen just to prime our pump on what John is writing to us in the first chapter, verses 6 through 9. Let's read. Now Jesus did other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Okay, now let's turn to John 1, 6 through 8, or sorry, 6 through 9. This is our main text today. Starting in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Verse 8, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Okay, there are two Johns, like I gave you almost before the scripture I read in chapter 20. We kind of went over who John was, the gospel writer. So we must make clear there's another John in this text. Okay, so we must differentiate between the two Johns. This John here that we read in the text in verse, let's look down in verse 6, he is John the Baptist. Okay, he was a forerunner, a public figure in Jesus' day, who had Jesus' support. He was on the bandwagon of Jesus. He had a public ministry, like I said before. But most importantly, we must look again in Scripture and see where John the Baptist's heart was. So let's turn to John 3, just a few chapters after. John 3, verse 25 through 30. And it reads, Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they had come to John and said to him, Rabbi, another word for teacher in their context, in their culture, he was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness. Look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Verse 30, this is awesome. He must increase, but I must decrease. That gives us a small snippet, a small glance of John the Baptist's heart. Let's now look at Luke 3, just the book, the gospel prior to John, Luke 3, 15 through 16. And again, it's on your screens. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John. Again, this is a heart issue. This is a spiritual issue. Whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So those are great. Those are two awesome illustrations of the heart of John the Baptist. And John is giving this to us to make clear of an example for all of us to follow. So to sum up or gather the hearts and thoughts of John the Baptizer, we must say two major threads that are woven deep into his heart. One, the first, he knew his orientation or his relationship to God. Although he was mighty, he had tons of followers, many say thousands upon thousands. He was well known, followed by the multitudes. We read both in John and in Luke that John the Baptist Baptist was humble. He knew that God was above all, and he was a lowly man. Secondly, he knew his orientation with people. He knew he was sent by God for the proclamation that someone was to follow, the Christ, the Messiah, the risen Lord, and soon to be the risen Lord. Now, let's rewind and back to our text. John's theme, we read in John 20, was the narrative making Jesus known throughout the earth as he was in heaven. This was huge. Jesus was worshipped perfectly. He was honored perfectly in heaven with the Trinity. He spoke light, and it bolted out of his mouth. This is seen in Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1, the first day of creation. There was void, there was darkness on the deep. And it was good. Day and night, boom, instant. The first day of creation, done. It was good. Without darkness, there is no light. The concept would be just incomprehensible, not known, wouldn't be thought about. At one point, this was the reality of everything under the heavens. Dark, void, fearful. Creates the production of fear. Starting from our eyes, sending signals to our brains, the doubt of the unknown turns starkly and sprinting for miles on end in our brains, running rampant like the squirrel running across the road in front of a car. The doubt in our minds bleeds like cancer from our mind to our heart, producing the emotional response of fear. And that fear from our heart continues to our soul, becomes a spiritual matter. You either stop and don't do anything, or you turn around and run away. This journey that darkness takes on the physical level in our physical bodies, like I said before, is the same response that our soul does in the spiritual realm. The fear of the unknown, where the light of the truth is not being shown or is known. Just as the first day of creation, darkness shall not be feared and conquer faith anymore. The darkness of the world will not stop the light of Scripture, the truth of the Lord. The light of life will not be stopped by the darkness of sin. The light will penetrate the darkness in the individual and throughout the world. Boom. Light. But by the grace of God, things are changing. People now, today, as we speak, are in Ecuador, loving on children who in their culture do not have light. Later this summer, people will go to Haiti on medical mission trip. And then following that, on a regular mission trip just to love on children. It's an amazing thing to experience. And the truth of God's and Jesus' love that was shown on the cross will be known everywhere, all the time. This leads me to my first point for all of humanity and getting back to our text. We must know, and John communicates, for all of humanity, that we are sent. We as Christ followers are sent to the world. Let's Let's turn our eyes back and look down at verse 6. There was a man there's specialty in its own sermon in itself. God could have sent angels. He could have sent and kept Jesus on earth to be a bodily presence for the Godhead, for us as humanity. But God sent man. This is a simple concept, but must penetrate our hearts on a daily basis. We must sit in a pool of truth that soaks, that our souls just soak up. We are sent with multitude of promises. We see that in Scripture. We can visit later about that, and I can show you. But let us not lose track, as we look at John the Baptist, of the true and greatest example of Jesus. Jesus was sent from heaven where he experienced and exemplified worship, holiness, and many other attributes perfectly. Unknown to us, we have no concept of how perfect he is and how holy, how set apart. Coming down from heaven, from his throne, to be born amongst animals. A trough for a crib. And then, soon after that, a journey to Jerusalem. His life did not get easier. As some gospels we hear in America say that it will. Once you believe Jesus, life will be easier. That is false. We fast forward 33 years in his life, and he was betrayed by a close friend, beaten with whips, spikes driven through his hands and feet, and thorns driven through his head. For you and I, what does this mean? Yet we cannot give back to him a week of our life in Charleston. He did all of this for us. Or a week in Haiti. Or maybe some of us, God is calling and pressing on our hearts and souls to go to Ecuador. What does it mean for you? Christ died and humbled himself to come to the earth, like I said before, born amongst animals. Mankind did not care a lick about his coming, nor did they care about his purpose in life. We must go always and everywhere we are, whether it's here in Eureka or down the road in Charleston, in Haiti or Ecuador. That's the Spirit's job in your life and heart, to tell which one or many or all of those you're called to do. I'm reminded of a personal story as I was in India, the country. It was an amazing time, amazing experience, amazing opportunity in my life in college when my wife and I were in Springfield, Missouri, not Illinois. And in India, in this country, while we were sweating like unprofusely, some of you know that I sweat a lot anyway. This is beyond Haiti, soccer in Haiti, or basketball in Charleston, if y'all can even think about that. That's neither here nor there. We were in charge of, there were two other college women there that we were under some full-time missionaries there in India, Gurgaon, India. And I will never forget this day. Super hot. It was at the end of our day. It was 4 o'clock there, which would have been like 4 a.m. here. It's there like 12 and a half hours difference. It's weird. I can't explain it. But long story short, we were, like I said, at the end of our day, and we were mapping out this community for the missionaries that stayed there. And we walked past this house, and this man came out, or he was already outside, and asked us what we were doing. And we were, like I said, we were sent there, but lost track of our purpose. I was leading the team at the time, and instead of taking a mission opportunity to tell him about Jesus, I had a goal in front of me, and we left. So this personal story has impacted my life in such a way. My wife and I are both listers. We love to make lists. We are task-oriented. But by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit is molding me continually to be led by the Spirit in my daily life. There's no mail truck or person sent without a purpose. We are sent with a purpose. Likewise, there's not a believer on earth throughout the world without a purpose. Not only are you sent, but you have a purpose. This leads us to the second point that we see here in John 1. It is that we have a purpose. The whole world is struggling with trying to find their purpose. Some people in our world are struggling with other awkward things like Bruce Jenner, you know. But the mission that we will make in our life is worth something. And the world has figured this out. Many objects, some good, some bad, distract us and decrease our passion from the clear and succinct mission that God has placed in our lives. Multiple and multitudes of people on earth have advocates. We're advocates. My wife, by the grace of God, got a job next year. She's a teacher. And she had to talk unendingly about herself. She was an advocate for herself. Everybody in every type of employment, you have to sell yourself to your employer. As salesmen, you have to advocate for the product. We're in America, American culture, we're so used to advocating for ourselves or something that benefits us. This is opposite of the gospel. We're not to be advocates for ourselves. Many times another option is that we are advocates for others. Excuse me. We're advocates for our children. Obviously, that's what I did when I started talking. James is awesome, right? We're advocates for our children. And once they grow, we are still advocates for us. But then they grow and learn how to be advocates for themselves. And they're going in college and so on and so forth. And they hopefully one day get out of the house, right, parents? And they're advocates for themselves and get a job. We're advocates for, like I said, other people, family, whether it's young children, grown children. This is an area, like I said, I struggle. Because our baby is medically healthy. He's great. In my humble opinion, he's awesome. All the while, what I think of James, that he's the best baby in the world, and I'm not biased, I promise. He is full of sin, pride. He wants his own things. He screams and yells. We've heard last week by Darren where pride leads. It comes before the fall. And if you haven't heard it, it's an awesome sermon. I challenge you to go to our Genesis website and hear it online. This is a simple picture in my life of how wretched human beings are. Even though we are sent and we're sent with a purpose, we so many times misconstrued that purpose in life, that God-given purpose, and it was good. This reminds me of an event of being advocates for our children. And there was a onesie at Bye Bye Baby when my wife and I were going shopping this week. And it said something, I can't remember exactly what it said, but something to the extent of, like, this baby is the next big thing. Like, how prideful is that to put on your baby that doesn't have a lick of status or resume in the world yet, but he's the next LeBron James. Like, whoa. Or he's the next Jordan Spieth in golf. Or he's the next Albert Pujols in baseball. Like, blew my mind that there was a onesie that had that phrase on it. Now, again, this is contrary to what John is communicating through the example of John the Baptist, right? He was humble. He knew his orientation with God, and he knew his orientation with others in the world. This is communicating verse 7. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. It's not about himself, but about the light, that all might believe through him, that his example and reflecting the light would propel him to be in such a witness that people would believe. Being the witness of the world that points them to Christ. This is the ultimate goal and mission of our life. This is our purpose. Here's the correct orientation with God and with others. Verse 8 reads, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, verse 9, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus came. Who are we witnesses for? Are we witnesses to ourselves, our children? Are we advocates for our job instead of Jesus? A great illustration that I'd like to end with is the moon, right? It's great. Our Creator God puts these images in creation to remind us of how we are supposed to orient ourselves with God and with others. All right, so many of y'all know, or should know, that the moon reflects the light of the sun, right? And gives us light to, whether it's live in the night, you know, creatures, tigers, lions, bears, you know, help navigate through the forest by the moon. But a lot of times, and I'm right there with you. You might not be like me. I don't know. You might be a perfect Christian or a more awesome Christian than I. But a lot of times I get distracted by the moon. Or the streetlights distract me from being the moon. Or the other stars around the moon distract me from the moon and its source of light. Right? And so this lantern, imagine with me that this lantern is an image of my mom and my dad and myself and my brother. The four candles in the lantern. That a lot of times distracts me from being the moon. And as I'm gazing on the moon, or really, more literally, being the moon for the sun, I get distracted as I walk by, my family's not bad in itself, right? My family's good and a blessing from the Lord. But when it distracts from our purpose, we must put it away aside and follow Christ. Be a reflection of the sun. So we are continuing in our journey of life as Jesus followers, gazing at the sun and reflecting the sun in the world, being the moon. And we walk past, or our journey of life takes us to a sport in high school, or a job in our career that is our dream job. But if it takes away from our gaze of the sun, being the moon, we must push it wayside and blow the candle out, or maybe dim it a little bit and refocus on the sun. What in your life today? For me, a lot of times, again, I struggle with a wrong orientation with my thoughts, my heart, and my soul with my baby. He's my world. He's our world. But if he takes my focus off the sun, me being the moon to the world, then I must turn down or reorient my life to get back into Scripture. To have a right relationship with my family that doesn't distract my purpose in life, which is to carry the mission, carry the gospel to the world with how we live. Like I said before, if it's here in Eureka, there in Charleston, in Haiti or Ecuador, we must go everywhere and all the time with our purpose, with our mission. Like I said before, we must be the moon and reflect the sun. That is our purpose in life. As the band starts coming up, prayer is an amazing thing. I love to start and end our time with it. It's such an amazing thing. So please bow our heads and close your eyes. And really, I pray for you and I that we would be in the Scripture in such a way that the Holy Spirit moves in our life on a daily basis of how to be the gospel and propel ourselves into the world with this mission and purpose. Father, thank you for your word. It is divinely inspired for us to know your heart and the purpose for our lives on a daily basis. Not in a general direction, but specifically being called for your glory and your purpose. Father, thank you for a community of believers that helps us, drive us to you in such a way that purifies us and gives us accountability with one another to honor you in the most and highest and perfect way. Let us be set apart from the world, but live amongst sinners just like ourselves, to give them the greatest news that we could ever accept. It's your life, death, and resurrection on the cross that gives us salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.